G'day, and welcome to another episode of Left After Breakfast, coming to you from Melbourne, Australia. My name is Susanna Duffy.
3CR.
Last week I had some bad news about an old friend and comrade, George Despard, to say that we had lost him. He'd gone south, passed away. He was, after all, 82. He was older than I am, and that's amazing to me, because I don't know many men who are older than I am. I will miss George very much, and a number of people will miss George. The world will miss George. George, the gentle warrior. He was an extraordinary man, a talented artist, and he was known for his poetry skills. He featured on the Concrete Gang as the legendary Charlie the Poet Lorikeet. He was overall a ripper bloke, a former shop steward of both the BLF and the CFMEU after the amalgamation. He was an active and proud unionist. George never missed a picket line when it was needed. He never, ever took a backward step. You'll be missed badly, George. So in this program today, I'm going to play for you a few pretty rough old recordings I have of some of George's poems, read by various mates, a couple of tributes from friends and comrades, something put together hastily for this program today, just a week after he died. So please bear with me and overlook some hissy and scratchy recordings. Some of them are quite old. But before that, we'll hear from the BL from the bush.
Hey, comrade. G'day, listener. BL from the bush calling in from Ridgery country. Always was, always will be. Bit of bad news today. We lost a dear comrade and builder's labourer, Georgie Despard, last week. So I'll just give you a bit of an insight into George's life quickly. So George was a typical knockabout builder's labourer activist. From sweating behind the barra, on the quay, or arm in arm on a picket line. George was always helping disadvantaged kids with his big mate Karen Nichols down at Leo Barry's boxing gym. George would always give anyone that down and out a fair go. The knockabout kid from Richmond was always there to give a chop out for anyone who needed it. Born and bred in Richmond, he left school early and became a builder's labourer to help put food on the table, which back in those days was very common. Kids were taken out of school because there was no money around, and that was how they got to help their families along. George would fiercely defend workers' rights and conditions, proudly standing under the flag of the Southern Cross, representing unity of the working class struggle, which was adopted and proudly carried by the BLF membership. George Watts was always front and centre at the BLF's demo with his old mate Normie, the general, in his early activism years. George didn't know how to take a backward step. From standover bosses to batten wheeling coppers, always shoulder to shoulder with his mates, upholding working class principles. Apart from the day-to-day body-breaking tasks asked of builders' labourers, there was another side of George, his working class poetry, catalogued and published, titled Bloody Brick Walls. Many years ago, George, a.k.a. Charlie, was a regular panellist on Radio 3CR's BLF show, The Concrete Gang, and in his cheeky way, he always managed to get a poem or two into the show, which was a big effort, given who else was on the show, Harold and Mick and the likes. At the old BL Stalwarts yearly get-together, which would consist of a few beers, storytelling, and gotta tell you, was always embellished, singing led by now deceased Bob Mancor, there would then be a bit of friendly rivalry of working class poetry between Killer Kane, another dear departed builder's labourer, and George. But as usual, George, not known to take a backward step, will control the floor and entertain us with his memories of childhood and working life in his working class poetry. That's just a little bit of an insight, comrades, into the life of George Despard. And I've come across a poem. It's very relevant today of what's happening with unionism today. And George wrote this quite some years ago. So, okay, so this poem's called We Are Union. And as I said before, George wrote this many, many years ago, but the relevance of it today is pretty astounding. Thinking about things as life goes on. Thinking about unions and where they go wrong. When they forget about the workers who feel they don't belong. When they forget about their wages, sell them out for less than a song. When the leader of a union thinks he can do no wrong. When members are out of work, no help, it's bloody wrong. Yes, a lot of unions are guilty. It's no new bloody song. A union is its members. The officials work for us. Let this never be forgotten, whether in boom, time or bust. So I'll just leave you to think on that, listener. Anyway, that's me for today. I'm leaving on a sad note, but George will be in some pretty good company wherever they are. BL from the Bush signing out. Dare to struggle, dare to win. If you don't fight, you lose.
3CR.
George had a lot of friends. Let's hear from some of them.
My name is Mary Ellen Fenelon, and I'd like to tell you about a special person, George Despard. I first met George at St Bede's Primary School in North Bourne in the late 1940s. In 1950, we made our first Holy Communion together. George was friendly but a bit cheeky and often received the strap, as did many others, but not as often as George. When Archbishop Mannix came to open the new school building, George was awarded first prize in a special art show. He drew a beautiful picture of a horse and was presented with the award by the Archbishop himself. Many years passed and often saw George with a group of bodgies at the local shopping centre. George always wore bright green socks. In the 1980s, I became involved with the Free Norm Gallagher Committee, and on one occasion I was at a BLF function when I saw the name George Despard on a brochure. I asked Norm to locate George, which he did, and from then on George was included in all our St Bede's lunches, which were held a couple of times a year. George always walked in with a slab of beer and a smile on his cheeky face. He was chirpy and full of fun. He told me how he hated living in North Bourne and preferred Richmond. He had a serious heart bypass, don't know how many years ago. I remember visiting him back at his family home in Richmond. I loved his poetry and enjoyed listening to him on the Concrete Gang each week. The launching of his poetry book was inspiring, as he had the chance to be acknowledged for his cleverness and his artistic ability, which had not happened at primary school. He was also proud of his daughter Donna, who became a teacher, and he often spoke of her to me. Ironically, he ended up in aged care in Richmond, the suburb he loved so much. I only managed to visit him twice, but he still had that cheeky grin of his, and we shared some good and not so good memories of our school days. Valet, George.
I'm very saddened at the passing of our dear family friend, George Despard. For many years, he was a colleague of my husband's in the building industry. George and Eddie Masterson would get the would be the flying pickets, and they would go round, and my husband, better known as Killer or Jimmy Kane, he would be doing a paint-up and they would be keeping an eye open for you know who. Anyway, they'd either toot the horn or come flying down, say, "Jump in, Killer, quick, come on, the cops are on their way." But I have these very fond memories of George dressing up as Rocco the Clown. The BLF Women's Support Committee would have these afternoons, evenings for the children, and they'd bring all the kids along, and Rocco the Clown would be up on stage going through his antics. And my eldest bloke, James, one of the young kids, they would come and they would tease him. And in the end, poor old Rocco either got derobed or nearly de-headed. But the kids used to love him. Even when we were at the zoo, had a Christmas party at the zoo, and George dressed up as Santa. And he would walk along going in his squeaky voice because he's got no neck, and he'd go, ho, 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 here's Santa. And the kids would all go round him, and then one of the other kids would say, I know that voice. That's George. Anyway, the kids would all laugh. The parents would laugh. Everyone had a wonderful time. George was a very militant union man, and whenever there was a march, he would always be there to wave the flag. He was on picket lines. He was everywhere. But the best thing I remember about George is when my husband passed away, George would ring me religiously every night at 7 p.m. And he'd talk to me, he'd ask me how I was, what are the kids doing, etc. And then in the August of 2012, I decided to go to Ireland as a bit of a pilgrimage for Killer. And George said, well, you're not going by yourself, I'm coming with you. Let's go down and organise a travel agent. And we did all that. We paid our own way and we shared a room. One night, I was very tired and I went up to the room. George said he was going to stay down, have a couple more sherbets. Anyway, 2 o'clock in the morning, there's bang, bang on the bloody bedroom door. George lost his key card and couldn't get in. And so I've opened the door and I've grabbed him by the shoulder because I couldn't grab him round the neck. I said, get in here, you little bastard. You're waking up half the bloody hotel. Oh, he just lay on the bed and laughed and then went straight to sleep, fully closed. Next morning, you're saying, where's the coffee? Where's the coffee? All in all, George was a very good, very, very good friend to me, as he was. If you had a friendship with George, you had a friendship for life. And I'm very sad that George has passed away. Rest in peace, young man. See you, Georgie.
I'd like to take the opportunity of playing the Builder's Labourer's song. I've sung this song with George so many times. He could sing a lot better than I can. He would say to me, doesn't matter, Susie, you don't need to hit the right notes. It's the feeling that's important. So here you are, the Builder's Labourer's song. And while it's playing, I am singing it with feeling.
We're putting up new buildings, we're knocking down the old. We're working in the summer heat and in the winter cold. And the labour power we sell, me boys, for a hard-earned weekly pay, produces mighty profits for the greedy MBA. And whether we were born here or born in Italy, in Greece, in Spain or Ireland, in England or Fiji, we all of us are workers, united we must stand, until the wealthy bludgers have been driven from our land. We faced deregistration, it backfired in the face. We're not fooled by arbitration, we won't stay in our place. We hit the bosses hard and fast to win and keep our gains, and break a couple of concrete pours to back our log of claims. So keep your powder dry and hold your head up high. It's class to class and face to face, our limit is the sky. We've got a fighting history and we never will be cowed. Our builder's labour is a name to make a man feel proud.
I have here a very old and very scratchy recording of George reciting one of his poems to all the working class mums. Some years back, when I made a tribute to John Cummins, George rewrote the title to be called To Cummo's Mum. Well, it is To Cummo's Mum and all working class mums. In memory of John Cummins' mother. The soundtrack is a little bit beaten up and broken down, pretty much like all the old builders' labourers that I know. But the strength and the resilience and the pride is still there, shining through.
In memory of Johnny Cummins' mother and all our mums. You could see his mother in the crowd, her heart staunch, her spirit proud, of her warrior son to whom injustice had been done. But still she stood strong amidst that grand rebel throng. Though coppers were 1,000 strong, she knew her son had done no wrong. And when they refused him bail, her dignity did not fail. Only a heartfelt tear, because her son was not near. But her tears didn't last for long, because that magnificent rebel throng gained the warriors' release, in spite of their 1,000 police. So we salute you all, working class mums, who battle for their husbands, daughters and sons, the backbone of the nation, our magnificent working class mums, in memory of Johnny Cummins' mother and all our mums.
There are a number of friends who wanted to say something about George, but who were unable, for one reason or another, to come in for a recording. John Togs Togdalini said he met George on the Banana Alley picket line just after the BLF were deregistered in April of 1986. Togs says George was a working class hero and that George once told him there were two things he wanted to be, a boxer or a rock and roll singer. But he was a great poet and a staunch builder's labourer. Rest in power, says Togs. And Dennis Evans says George Despard, small in stature, but a giant in the trade union movement. He could have been a boxer or a rock star, but instead he became a legend and a literary giant capable of leaping giant brick walls. Dennis goes on to say, like fellow comrade Lisa Cruikshank, both will not be rewarded in heaven. There is a much better place for them. Vale, we Georgie. You dare to struggle. You did yourself a treat. So many memories of George around. So many memories that capture his heart, his humour and his humanity. As I said before, a ripper bloke. Now, a number of friends have been reading some of George's poetry. But first of all, before we go on to these random friends, I want to introduce you once again to Comrade Natasha, the working class poet, who will read something of George's.
The Long Smoko, Portland, 1982. It was the longest bloody smoko that we'd ever had. As we stood there on the picket line, labourers, carpenters, all trades, through good weather and through bad, those lazy Portland winds don't go around you, but right through you. And in our hearts we sang, you crumbs, Alcoa, we'll do you. The tiredest time was just before dawn, but we had two old diggers in our mob who made us all stand too, just to keep us on the job. The women were magnificent, fighting in solidarity with their men. And the children sang so beautifully, such sweet music I haven't heard since then. It was enough to bring a tear to this old labourer's eye. Yes, I'll remember the Portland picket line until the day I die.
My crook back.
I've laboured for years, and now I've got a crook back. Wasn't just one job that caused my mishap. The years of slaving that wore out me back. It didn't go on me all at once, you see. Like an old cart horse, it went gradually. There should be a law for such a loss, so a worker can sue his every past boss.
Some more of George's poetry here.
Life of a lout. I've been a lout all my life, so I have. But I was lucky to have a good mum and dad. But the Jacks reckoned I was a real smart young pup, so they always kept locking me up. It just wasn't bloody well fair. Every time I turned round a corner, there was a big fat copper standing there. They threw me through the front door of the Jack shop one night, then blamed me for breaking it down. So is there any justice at all when you appear before the Crown? The magistrate asked me with his plum in the mouth talk. What was the worst thing I ever done? As through me life I walked, I thought for a while and scratched me head, then replied with a bold retort, the worst thing in me life that I ever done was getting bloody well caught.
Thank you, Natasha, for a beautiful reading. Now let's hear some more of George's poetry. This is the Abbotsford Shuffle.
I was walking along Johnson Street the other night. It was 10 o'clock on Thursday and I was half tight. So I thought I'd hail a taxi. I hailed the taxi all right. It turned out to be a taxi with a blue light. So they pulled up alongside me and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Getting out of here." So I started doing the Abbotsford Shuffle. It's a real smooth dance. I suppose you all know, so if the coppers try and get you, just hit the toe. And then start doing the Abbotsford Shuffle. Now if they try and get you and you think you can't win, just sidestep real smart with a bit of a grin. And start doing the Abbotsford Shuffle. Now if you break your door down and you think you're going to go, don't be there in the first place. Always be on the toe. And start doing
the Abbotsford Shuffle.
Then run as fast as you can. That's great,
isn't
it?
That's great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The boys from the Concrete Gang enjoying the Abbotsford Shuffle. We'll hear from Reuben, and then we'll hear one of George's poems set to music.
I remember as a kid in school, when I was in grade one, the teacher was always going crook and I never had much fun. But one thing she used to harp on with her elderly caustic tongue, Australia is a land of hope with freedom of speech for everyone. You could call the king a bastard and even curse the Pope. You could pick your nose in public and laugh and swear and joke. You could even spit on the footpath as long as the asphalt never broke. But was it all bloody lies? Because they jailed this union bloke for thanking his members for their support. This freedom's a bloody joke. So whether you come from Richmond or down at Frankston Beach, let us free Normie Gallagher and fight for freedom of speech.
Well, the years we stood round a 44-gallon drum, with the flames flying up when a picket line was on. The people gathered round there when I was sick and a bloody none. We'll fight until we've won, until the job is done.
You did something.
Yeah, that's right. Well, overworked and underpaid, they're just typical of the way that the bosses treat the workers, both now and yesterday. And most of the gains we won, well, they've been taken a bloody way. Whatever bloody well happened to the 8-hour bloody day. But we'll fight till we've won, yeah, until the job is done. Our flame will burn forever in that 44-gallon drum. Yeah, we'll fight till we've won, until the job is done. Our flame will burn forever in that 44-gallon drum.
George's funeral will be held on Monday, 29th of September, at St. Ignatius Church in Richmond at 10 a.m. This has been a small tribute to George Despard, who will be much missed. I'm sorry I could not have done something better, but I will in the future. And this just reinforces to me once more that we should be celebrating people like George while they are still with us, instead of waiting till they're past to sing their praises. We must do that more and more. But anyway, listener, go and see your friends today and give them a big hug.